Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hope your Thursday afternoon is going fine. Thank you for joining us all. We've got a fine guest for the next half hour. His name is William Park Sutherland. He is the Government Affairs Director for Kids Forward. Welcome to The Maggie Dawn Show, William. It's a real pleasure to have you.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
In preparing for this, you shared a little bit of your background, and so we're going to spend the bulk of our time today talking about the real existential, life-threatening cuts that Republicans have put forward in the big, brutal bill. But before we get there, I was reading other news this morning, and apparently Democrats have spent, I don't know, like $30 million on an assessment of how to reach young men. And one of the things that that came out of that, at least some of the initial reporting that I'm seeing, is talking about the lightning rod that so-called cultural issues have been for the Democratic Party, and that depending on which politico you're talking to, the assessment of that analysis was, well, we need to stop talking about things like DEI. And I heard Basil Smigel address this a bit this morning, and I wanted to talk with you a little bit about it just because we have some shared background in this area. And one of the things that I have said for a long time on this program is that one of the falsehoods, one of the big lies, if you will, that has come from Republicans for decades, now from the MAGA regime, and it has simply become one of the baseline operating presumptions of almost all policy discussions, and it is a lie. And that is this idea of false scarcity, and that the world is zero sum, and that if we craft policies with intentionality and deliberateness so that we are actually trying to foster better competition, people from more diverse backgrounds actually being able to access opportunities on a more equitable basis, that if we do those things, whether it's black and brown folks, women folks, the LGBTQIA plus community, that by definition, that means men or white men in particular will do worse. This to me is one of the greatest political lies of modern American political history. And I wanted to just going through some of what we shared getting ready for this. I wanted to give you an opportunity to address that because it is pernicious and it is sticky.
Yeah. So, I haven't seen the report you're talking about, and I haven't heard Basil's comments. But, you know, what I can say is that, you know, before I worked at Kids Forward, I was a part of the disability advocacy community. And we talk about curb cuts. Mm-hmm. And there's this thing called the curb cut effect, which is that when you address the barriers for the people who need it the most, you actually make things easier for everybody else. And so the curb cut is a perfect example, right? This is so that wheelchair users can navigate, you know, streets and sidewalks more safely, but this makes it easier for people who are carrying their groceries. It makes it easier for folks who have their luggage. It makes it easier for parents who are pushing a stroller. It makes it easier for everyone. And the same thing is true of public policy, that when we make something accessible for people who experience the most administrative barriers, we make it better for everyone else. And zero sum is just really, not true. And it's a lie. And I think it's a fallacy that has really hurt us in general. And specifically, you know, I'd pull you to Heather McGee's research in The Sum of Us, and really talking about the way that racism affects every single person in this country, including white people,
yes,
including myself. And so, you know, rather than share our public investments, our public goods, we defunded them. And we drain the pool. We drain the pool for health insurance. We drain the pool for student debt. we drain the pool for mortgage, you know, and I know little about these things, but it's a very, I think it's a, an example
policy,
of how this
right?
works, right?
Yeah.
And the same is true on the other side, right? So this bill that the Republicans have kind of rushed through without reading, I mean, and it's very clear that this is reckless because now some of them are saying, I didn't know this thing was in it. Is that these kinds of cuts, this kind of death by red tape, is going to affect everyone. This yeah. isn't going to be, you know, only the people who sort of don't deserve to have Medicaid, whoever those people are. But what's very clear and what this Congressional Budget Office shows us is that, you know, this is going to affect everyone. This is going to affect white people. This is going to affect rural folks. This is going to hurt rural hospitals. And so this is the flip side, right, of this idea that, you know, the zero sum kind of works both ways. And so we're in a situation where these barriers and this red tape is going to affect everyone, even if it was designed maybe to affect a smaller population.
Well, I think you've put your finger on what is the con. And that to me is invented, made up boogeyman. And I talk about this all the time as an economist. It is usually the case. It has been political gospel for people to use case examples. Oh, well, here's James whatever, and here's his story. And this story is either good or bad. And based on this one story, we're going to do this set of policies. The problem with that is that it's not actually system-wide analysis. It's just a one-off. And so even in the case where Republicans and now the MAGA regime have pointed to what I am going to call one-off errors of system where people have abused a system, they have used that to construct a false boogeyman, usually exploiting all sorts of stereotypes baked into our collective consciousness here as Americans to effectively convince white people to support candidates that will do things like gut Medicaid to the tune of $700-800 billion, causing 10 million plus people to lose their health care, to cause rural hospitals to close so that when you or your mom or dad or grandparents have a heart attack and they need to get to a hospital to save their lives and minutes matter, that hospital won't be there anymore. To create the false boogeyman, a false narrative, to convince people to legitimately vote against their interests, and for what public policy aim? Tax cuts for billionaires. This is the playbook of so many years. When we look to Wisconsin, I think sometimes the terminology matters, and people don't actually understand that when we say Medicaid, we're talking about them. Tell us a little bit more, William.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think this is one of the things that if more people understood that when we're talking about cuts to Medicaid, we're talking about them, I think we'd be in a different situation. But in, you know, in Wisconsin, you know, there are more than 20 programs that are funded by Medicaid. So I just heard a story about a person who was talking to their managed care company and said, their managed care provider, their Medicaid provider, and, you know, said, oh, I'm not worried about this because I have Forward Health. I don't have Medicaid. Your Forward Health card is Medicaid.
Yes.
If Badger Care Plus is Medicaid, Family Care is Medicaid. Comprehensive Community Services, which is a broad-based mental health program for kids and adults, is Medicaid. The Medical Assistance Purchase Plan, which helps people with disabilities work and get access to their long-term care, it's Medicaid. Medicaid covers, you know, more than 50% of nursing home stays. And I think that's something people really don't think about at all, because they sort of think about Medicare as being the program for older adults. And so they think, well, nursing homes are generally for older adults, so that must be paid for by Medicare. That's paid for by Medicaid. I think the kind of secret sauce is that people, when they say something like, we're only going to take this away for the people who don't deserve it, I think lots of people think they deserve it. And they're right. They do deserve it. But they kind of lose who's in mind. Yes. Because like, no, you are the person who doesn't deserve it in this model, right? We are trying to,
you are the people that they're saying don't deserve it.
Undo the Affordable Care Act without saying that.
Sorry to interrupt. And I think that being clear about the terminology, it's Forward Health, it's Family Care, it's Badger Care, it's Badger Care Plus. That's what they're talking about cutting. This concept, and it is the corollary to the zero sum, right, and the false scarcity, this concept of deserve it is part and parcel with these falsehoods that there, again, the boogeyman is all of these people who don't, quote, deserve this benefit are getting it, when in reality, that is simply a lie. We know that when we look at folks that aren't otherwise disabled or elderly or children that are on Medicaid, it's upwards of 75% of those people are working full-time already. What we are creating is administrative barriers, literal death by a thousand paper cuts. I was working on Capitol Hill when Newt Gingrich authored and ushered through quote unquote welfare reform, which had this exact same framework. And what we know from that is that more families went hungry, more children went hungry, dropout rates went up, people were sicker. That is what the result was. Those people and their needs didn't disappear. We just wrote them out of the programs.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we say in the Wisconsin Medicaid Coalition, which is a group of more than 300 people and 150 organizations across the state that are concerned about the impact of Medicaid cuts, is prove your working requirements. Because the issue is not going to be whether you're working. The issue is going to be, can you prove it? Can you jump through the bureaucratic hoops? And the people who can't are not necessarily going to be the people who don't have a job. It's also a job loss penalty, because if you lose your job, then you risk also losing your health insurance.
Yeah, the double whammy. This country's had a flawed model of health insurance for so long. Employer-based health insurance doesn't work well for employees. It doesn't work well for employers. And it certainly doesn't work well for all of us that contribute in tax dollars or through deductibles and other ways. We end up paying for health care one way or another. We're going to continue this important discussion with William Park Sutherland, the Government Affairs Director for Kids Forward, on the other side. Don't go anywhere. My name's Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.